ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Blue Jays From Away podcast, episode 22.
Got this force coming through in my blood, in my veins, it's a car.
This is our first podcast of the 2014 season, and we're kicking it off with a bang. An inside look at our new book, the 2014 Toronto Blue Jays Minor League Handbook. I'm joined by my co-authors Charlie Caskey and Jared McDonald.
Then you raise up your hands, higher, higher, raise up your hands, higher, higher, raise up your hands, higher, higher, raise.
So sit back, ladies and gentlemen, take a listen and get your Blue Jays on. It's the Blue Jays From Away podcast. It's an exciting day as the Blue Jays open their 2014 season in Tampa Bay, and we're also releasing our ebook, the 2014 Toronto Blue Jays Minor League Handbook, by yours truly, Charlie Caskey and Jared McDonald. The book is available now at smashwords.com for $7.99 US, and if you're in the Toronto area, you're invited to join us on Wednesday, April 2nd at Tallboys Craft Beer House at 838 Bloor Street West at 7 p.m. They'll have the Jays game on, and we'll be doing some trivia with some giveaways. If you come down to the book launch, you'll get $2 off the price of the book if you haven't bought it yet. Just sign up on the email list we'll be circulating, and you'll be emailed a $2 coupon good for your purchase of the book at smashwords.com. If you've already bought the book, you'll have to be patient, but we'll send you our All-Star Break update for free when it comes out in July. Last night, I talked to Jared and Charlie, and we discussed the book and where we see some of the minor league placements coming to open the season. Unfortunately, Charlie's internet connection wasn't the best, so his voice does cut out from time to time. Here's that discussion now. Welcome to the first Blue Jays From Away podcast of the 2014 season. This episode, I'm going to be joined by my two co-conspirators for the 2014 Toronto Blue Jays Minor League Handbook. Live from Vancouver, we have Charlie Caskey on the line.
Hey, how you doing?
And also from beautiful, the greater Toronto area, we've got Jared McDonald.
You bet.
Now, before we get going, of course, this is being recorded on the eve of the Toronto Blue Jays 2014 baseball season. The games start probably by the time you're going to hear this in just a few hours, coming to you live from Tampa Bay, where they're going to start the season. And we're also just days away from the start of the 2014 minor league season. And so today we're not just going to talk about the book that we put together over the winter, but we're also going to talk about some speculation that we have just before the Blue Jays have come out and announced their minor league assignments for the 2014 season. But first, let's talk to Jared, because Jared, when I first approached you with this idea for the book, you told me that you had the idea at least a year before and just couldn't get around to doing it.
Yeah, it's exactly that. I mean, I remember I was sitting in, I think it was like all good things, conceived in the stands in Lansing. And I was basically just sitting there, and it was one of the first trips of the year, and I had the idea to kind of go and visit all seven affiliates, and I ended up doing it that one year, but in 2012, and kind of getting information from, you know, different players and coaches and scouts and things like that. But I basically realized when push came to shove and the writing kind of started in the off season, it was a lot of work to do for one person. So that's why, and I noticed that right away. But that's why when the second you approached me on it, I said, you know, 100% for sure. And I'm glad it's worked out and come to fruition, because it's a special thing.
Well, and the three of us, as people who have read our work know, the three of us are all kind of minor league geeks. And I think Jared is one of the first real minor league geeks on the scene in the Blue Jays, who has been covering the Blue Jays. Jared, do you want to just tell the listeners a little bit about sort of what your experience covering the minor league clubs of the Blue Jays has been?
Yeah, I mean, basically, I started out writing for Jay's Journal back in the day as an editor there, and I was kind of approached by the other, actually the editor at the time, mind you, to correct myself there. Basically, we were doing a top prospects list, and it was a top 50 list at the time, and we did it. I believe it was the before the 2012 season or around the 2011 off season, and you know, kind of pulling in reports from guys and you know, different things like that. And at the time, Baseball Prospectus was still good, but it wasn't, you know, the level of content that it was now from a minor league standpoint. But even like with Baseball America, I just thought, and you know, with other reports, I just thought, you know, I'm not the one getting this information. So, you know, that's kind of what started it all. I just kind of said, you know what, enough's enough. I want to get out to the parks and drop a lot more money than I thought I was going to, but just to be able to go get my own reports and not have to rely on, you know, secondhand or basically other scouting reports and things like that. So that kind of started from there, and it was initially just starting on the Blue Jays side of things, and then I ended up just really getting a love for the minor leagues and just the fascination of the minor leagues and you know, players that are better than their stat line indicates, or players that are worse in person. And as both of you guys know, because you're just as addicted to it as I am, that yeah, the minor leagues are fascinating. So,
well, I'll throw it over to you now, Charlie, because being in Vancouver, you sort of have the advantage over Jared and I in that you're actually based in one of the minor league cities that the Blue Jays operate in. Can you tell us a bit more about your association writing about the Vancouver Canadiens?
Well, before I do that, can I ask Jared what else good was conceived in the stands of Lansing? I mean, that's an interesting...
Charlie, I was going to leave that alone.
Like I said, like all good things. Really, all good things are conceived, not children or anything crazy like that. Get your mind out of the gutter. No, nothing crazy.
I mean, we know much of the backstory has been told on this podcast that, you know, I moved back to Vancouver in late sort of summer 2011, and which was also, you know, luckily for me, being a lifelong Blue Jays fan, coincided with the first year of their PDC player development contract with the Canadiens. So saw a few games, you know, sort of back end. Didn't, unfortunately, get to see any of the what went on to become the Lansing Three of Syndergaard, Sanchez, or Nicolino. But, you know, had my interest peaked, you know, quite a bit. And had sort of gotten into the idea of blogging, having lived in Tokyo the year before, and sort of started following the Tokyo Swallows over there, and you know, with the agreement that these guys had, I started blogging on my own, created my own site, yourvancees.com, and sort of after a year of doing it on my own, went to the two local newspapers here and tried to sell it to them, and one for it, picked it up. So last year was my first year sort of as a full-time accredited member of the sort of media staff of the Vancouver Canadiens. And so I would guess of the 38 plus playoff games, 40 odd games, I was at 30, at least 30, 75% of them. So it was a good year. It was different, and I learned a ton, and you know, hopefully I can apply some of those lessons to this year. You know, and build, you know, myself as a writer and build my blog up a bit more. And, you know, also, you know, sitting behind home plate and trying to, you know, like Jared and like yourself, Jay, just trying to get a better feel. Cause I was not a scout. I'm not coming from a scouting background, but I'm trying to learn day by day what to look for and what scouts are actually, you know, trying to apply when they're there. So we'll see what happens.
And I'm sure, Jared, you found this as well, is that I find some of the best parts of going to the ballparks and seeing the players is also to talk to the scouts who are there. You know, the occasional one, you know, doesn't really want to talk, but I find that a lot of them are friendly and open, and especially the professional scouts, they're happy in not only sharing information, but in sharing how they make the decisions that they do.
Yeah, I think, like, I think if you show, like, an interest, but also, you know, you're not just kind of a, you know, a casual fan that kind of thinks that, you know, scouts get paid to watch baseball kind of thing, and, you know, it's easy work and things like that. If you show kind of a real interest, or you have some kind of knowledge from the scouting background, I mean, they're going to be more inclined to talk to you. But yeah, I mean, that's easily one of the best parts about going to all the parks is that, is just talking to other people in the game. And I think that was probably the biggest change I found, kind of last year over the year before, or kind of going into this year as well. Is just, I remember, like, on the topic of kind of having the idea for the handbook and stuff like that, going to all the different parks, I kind of, you know, talking to different coaches, on the J side of things, and not really getting an outsider kind of opinion. Like, a lot of it was heavy in the Blue Jays organization, which is good, but they're not gonna, you know, their own coaches aren't gonna really give you an honest, like, they're gonna give you some feedback, as you guys know, about kind of players and what they're working on and things like that, but especially if they're on the record, they're not gonna be as, impartial as, objective as, you know, a scout would be or something. Not that you would ever talk to a scout on the record, because he'd avoid you like the plague, but, but you know what I mean? Like, it kind of last year just seemed to really be a lot better to kind of go more out of the way of, I mean, talking to coaches a little bit and the players and things like that, but, really talking to more kind of third party, individuals.
So what is it with you and the stands in Lansing? I'm getting kind of afraid to go down there with you this year.
Yeah, no, all right. Full disclosure here, full confession. Here we go. But Lansing was literally the first of the minor league parks I went to. So I was supposed to go down. I think I kind of mentioned it in the book, but I was supposed to go down for a playoff game in 2011 against Dayton. I was going to go down first time, and I talked to Jesse, and I was all set to go down. And then there was a rain delay, or the game in Dayton was rained out, so it pushed the whole schedule back. So I didn't get a chance to go. So when I went in 2012, I just, you know, went down, and just since going, I mean, and Jay, you've been there too. I mean, it's, I don't know, to me, it's just, I mean, not like I've enjoyed all the affiliates of, like, every single affiliate is special in their own different way and has a good experience, especially the Nat, when you meet Charlie for the first time, when you go out there, a couple years ago. But, it's an interesting little atmosphere, and the people there just are so awesome. And then, you know, when you meet guys like, you know, Brian Crawford, Chad Hillman, and, you know, Nick Schlein, and a couple guys, and it's good kind of baseball discussion in addition to, you know, the scouts and things like that. So I've kind of joked that it's kind of a tradition to sit there in frigid April temperatures and go down every. So I think this will be the third year in a row that you're just sitting there freezing cold, and you're probably one of maybe 10 people in the stands. But it's great. So
well, I did have that experience in Buffalo last year when I went down. I think early April for a doubleheader and on a Sunday, and it was just absolutely freezing. And I think I was actually there with the minor leaguer, the blogger for Bluebird Banter, and I think he was counting, or one of his friends was counting, the number of seagulls or pigeons that were in the ballpark and trying to see if there were more birds than people. I think there were. It was a pretty frigid day, and by the end of the second game, nobody was there. But I do share the warm feelings for Lansing, because it was the first park I went to with a press credential, and I can completely agree on how warm the reception is down there, especially with other bloggers. I think they really like bloggers, because I think the local newspapers only see, you know, Michigan State, and that's pretty much the only thing in the world going on down there. So I think for them, you know, the bloggers who really are interested in the Lansing Lugnuts are a real, it makes it a really friendly experience, where everybody's really excited that you want to be there.
Oh yeah, and then the ballpark, and just the size of the press box, and just little little things. But although, I mean, since going to Buffalo last year, I mean, Buffalo's pretty pretty great as well, and definitely probably one of the tops in the minor leagues for sure.
And I'm sure Charlie will get you out to Lansing one of these days. I hear there's an open invitation at Chad Hillman's house for the Midwest League All-Star Game this year, and in Grand Rapids.
Oh, I did see that on Twitter. Yeah, I'd definitely like to get out, but I think that's a very different story than what you would have for Vancouver, Jared. And if I remember correctly, the first time I met you, you didn't leave the press box because it was the only air-conditioned place. It was so hot in Vancouver that day.
Yeah, and the steep viewing angle over top of home plate on the roof there. I had to get down and get down in the stands because it was. But even that's great when you go up the back and you walk across the roof to the kind of man-made press box. It's awesome.
Yeah, it's a very different. I mean, obviously last year, as I said, was the first time I got to do it, and the first couple games we were actually allowed to. They had a couch out on the roof, which was fantastic, but they quickly kiboshed that. I guess some fans were a bit curious as to why there's four guys sitting out on a couch on the roof. And there were some safety concerns, so they put paid to that, unfortunately. But yeah, it's a very different experience sitting on that, in that very tiny man-made press box, as you say, on the roof of the Nat, but it's an unbelievable. I think the players, you know, once they travel through Vancouver, it's, especially coming from Bluefield where you guys have both been there, it's what, 200-300 fans and not the atmosphere that, you know, you would think professional baseball would be all about. And then all of a sudden they show up and there's 5,500 fans that are, I mean, I think I read an interview with Mike Reeves did with Canadian Baseball, the end, 20 fans right on top of you just because the way the stands are configured.
Yeah, well, I think, like, I remember it as, you know, it was such a vivid moment, like, literally coming down the stairs there, and then, because I was, like, you there kind of before the game, and then, you know, I didn't realize, you know, the place had, you know, filled up, because you can't really see, right? Because, you know, how you're kind of overlooking overlooking home plate from the press box there, so I remember coming down the stairs, and just the place was full, and just the fans are just so crazy, like, it was amazing. It was amazing.
Really hear as well when you're in the press box. You don't, you know, you can hear it, but it's sort of a din. You know, you don't really get the full atmosphere, which is unfortunate. But yeah, like you say, once you get out of the press box and get down, it's pretty amazing.
Well, I haven't been to Vancouver, but I can say that the players even feel a step up in the atmosphere when they're coming from the Gulf Coast League up to Bluefield, where, you know, I think for playoff games they'll probably bring in 700 or 800 people, which, you know, compared to the GCL is a huge crowd. But obviously Vancouver and even into Lansing, where they get some very nice crowds once the summer really gets going, and on weekends I've been there where they've had about 6,000 or 7,000 fans, and the place really gets jumping. And even in New Hampshire, I've seen some pretty big crowds especially when the Portland Sea Dogs come into town, and you have sort of a split crowd, those cheering for the Boston Red Sox affiliate and those cheering for the hometown Fisher Cats.
Absolutely. And there's nothing worse than school days, those 10 a.m. morning games. I mean, I don't mind them, but I've heard some people kind of roll their eyes with all the kids going around, but those are great promotions because the place just fills up, eh?
Yeah, so let's talk a little bit. We don't have too much time today, but let's talk a little bit about prospects and what we think is going to happen in the 2014 season. We've already started to see a number of players start to tweet out what their assignments are. And so, you know, the ones that we can sort of update our listeners on, and I'm sure by the time they listen to this, hopefully we're going to have formal final assignments, I guess. There's never anything that's really final because I know that with Eric Kratz getting called up, I'm almost wondering if that's going to affect AJ Jimenez, who was probably going to start the season in Double A, but with Kratz starting the season with the Blue Jays, what do you guys think? Do you think that's going to get Jimenez to come up to Buffalo to start the season?
I don't know. I mean, it's possible. I assume that they wanted. I mean, as long as they get, I think the main concern with Jimenez is just getting him at bats, getting him as many reps after the injury, you know, coming off the Tommy John surgery last year, and he played, what, 50-odd games. I don't think they really care. where they get him the at-bats. I had him personally in New Hampshire just because I assumed that, you know, Kratz or Toley would be the one taking the ball with this weird four-man bench. Two of them are catcher rotation they're going to have in Toronto. Then, yeah, I guess Jimenez could be in Buffalo.
Jared?
Yeah, I think, just on the topic of the Blue Jays bench, I think that could be a whole separate podcast, but, I agree with Charlie in that is that either one, in the end, it really depends on him getting his reps and, just getting those regular at bats and getting his timing down and everything like that. So, whether it's New Hampshire or Buffalo, I think, I mean, he was in both, last year for a little bit. So, it doesn't really, you know, I could probably see him going up to Buffalo for a few games and, maybe a month or depending on, till Jansen kind of comes off the DL. And then, you know, if another move comes and Kratz are totally sent down, then, you know, he goes back down to AA and no one loses any sleep over it. So what about you, Jay? What do you think?
Well, my sort of rationale is who's going to be the starting catcher in Buffalo if Kratz is in Toronto? You've got Mike Nikias and you pretty much got Jack Murphy because even though I think Murphy will probably end up in AA, Sean Ochinco still has a chunk of his late season suspension to serve. So Ochinco, who probably would have been the next guy on the list to be the starting catcher in Buffalo, isn't available for, I think, another 30 games or so. So, you know, is Mike Nikias going to be your everyday guy? Mike Nikias hit, I think, .185 last year. And, you know, Jack Murphy hasn't hit in a couple of years and never at, you know, the AA level. So I think, you know, if they want to have a catcher who's going to be the guy, at least until Kratz returns or somebody returns, I think that's Jimenez.
Yeah, I think it makes sense.
All right. So, well, let's...
Yeah, go ahead. I mean, I was just thinking because, Jared and I were having a bit of a Twitter love-in of Aaron Sanchez's last couple of innings yesterday against the Mets, and it was Derek Chung catching him, wasn't he? So
Yeah, I still think Chung is starting the season in AA, regardless of what I think it was MJWW. He's a writer for Bluebird Banner. He came out with a prediction, and I think his prediction had Derek Chung in Dunedin, but I think the Blue Jays are really want to move him forward. I think they want to keep him with Sanchez. I think there's a lot of things going on, I think, with Derek Chung that I think are great for him, and I think it's going to mean that he's going to be in AA. So we haven't heard anything official yet about him, or even unofficial yet about him, but my gut feeling is that even if Chung is in New Hampshire next year, or this year to start the season, I think they'll find him at bats and they'll find him days to catch with, give, Jimenez a DH day or something, even if they're both at the same level.
Yeah. So, I mean, but that's what I'm saying. If Jimenez starts the season in AAA, then Chung can pick up the slack initially. And then, you know, it's going to be quite flexible. And I think a lot of the assignments we see, I mean, I'm guessing, and New Hampshire confirmed it to me over Twitter today that the official roster announcement is tomorrow. You know, there's still going to be a lot of ebb and flow in the first month or so with, you know, like we discussed, LB Gansler is on the DL to start. You know, people are going to kind of come and go from exchange over the first month.
Yeah, and, you know, let's talk about there's only a few people that I think have sort of been confirmed or have tweeted that they're going to be in New Hampshire so far. The first one that was a fairly big surprise, well, not a huge surprise for me because I did have him listed as probably in New Hampshire mainly because of numbers, when I did my projected FisherCats roster was Dec McGuire. You know, I saw how deep the starting rotation in Buffalo was going to be, and I really had a hard time seeing McGuire, you know, making it since he was sort of sixth or seventh on the depth charts, maybe even eighth on the depth charts for Buffalo. So McGuire has tweeted that he's going to New Hampshire. John Anderson, our co-author, I guess, he contributed an essay for the book. He's tweeted out that he's going to be in New Hampshire. And I've also seen reports that John Birdie, the second baseman who played in the Australian Baseball League last year and led the Florida State League in stolen bases, he's going to be in New Hampshire along with his teammate for the Canberra Cavalry and the Dunedin Blue Jays, Michael Krause, will also be in New Hampshire. You guys want to, you know, let us know what you think about that?
Well, and Kenny Wilson, too, I think, as well. I remember I saw, I think him and Krause going back and forth on Twitter about walk-up music, which was entertaining. But, yeah, I think, I mean, just to kind of touch on deck first, I think this year is going to be, I mean, obviously, I'm not going to say the whole, you know, this is a make-or-break year for him because it's completely cliched, but I think the big thing with Deck this year is getting a new pitching coach. I mean, that's nothing against Tom Signor, who's one of the best in the business, but I just think a new viewpoint or a new perspective from Big Jim is going to be really good for him. I mean, he could still throw up a six by the end of the year, and, you know, we could, you know, look back on this and say, you know, it didn't do anything, but I just think to have a new perspective and kind of have a clean slate given how long he's been in New Hampshire, I think that's going to be really, really good for him. But, I mean, a guy like Krause, I'm looking forward to seeing Krause in New Hampshire this year, and I'm really pleased with the assignment that he just so I know, like, you look at his numbers in Dunedin the past 2 years, and they haven't really been, you know, amazing, and he went back down to Lansing, and but I mean, I'm a big Michael Krause fan, so I just like the package that he brings. I don't know what your guys' thoughts are on him, but I just, he's built like a tight end, and he can steal, and I'm a big Krause fan.
Well, I've seen Krause a little bit in spring training. I haven't been able to see him in the regular season, but yeah, I mean, he does have so many tools that I think he's sort of poised on the edge of putting it all together. The Florida State League is a tough league for hitters, and he still put up solid numbers. I think he did really well in the Australian Baseball League, and he hit 8 home runs in, I think, about 200 at bats or something like that, which is pretty good, and I think it's the best rate that he's had in his career so far. And I think the ballpark in New Hampshire plays well for hitters. You have guys like Brad Glenn hitting a lot of home runs there and Ryan Schimpf hitting a lot of home runs there. So I think he could be poised to have quite a big year in New Hampshire. So he can run, he can field. He was playing center field for a while. I don't think he's going to do that in New Hampshire with Kenny Wilson in the outfield. But, I think, that New Hampshire outfield can be pretty exciting.
Yeah, I've never seen him play. I mean, obviously, you know, passport wise, I hope he does well. He's a BC kid. But, you know, he did lose him along with Marcus Knecht, lost a lot of their prospects shine, you know, once they hit Florida and the Death Valley that is whatever the stadium is there, whatever auto body. So I'd like to see him do well. I think you made a very good point with Deck. You know, I had the pleasure of talking to Big Jim after basically every Canadiens game last year, and you know, he tells it like it is. I know it's a bit of a cliche, but he really does. And you know, that I think I look at minor league coaches' moves as more often than not sideways rather than promotions, but I really think this is a promotion for him, because I think the Blue Jays really put a lot of faith in him, and obviously he developed a relationship with Sanchez when they were both in Vancouver together, and they think that, you know, he's the best person to work with Aaron going forward. So they've put a lot of trust in him to put him in New Hampshire. And if it works out well with Deck as well, you know, that'd be great.
Well, now let's look at who might be in Dunedin. I really haven't heard much except for Justin Jackson tweeting that he was going to start in Dunedin. He finished there last year, and I think he made a lot of strides in Dunedin. I think finding his command. I did see one appearance in spring training. It was actually very short. He pitched in a AAA game, and I think he pitched to 4 batters, gave up 4 ground balls. 2 of them went for hits. I think one was an error. And 2 of them, you know, one was a double play ball and the other one was a ground out. So he had you know, I couldn't see all that much from him, especially because I saw him at the Yankees complex where I couldn't stand behind the plate and really see the action on his pitches. But he definitely was keeping the ball down and looked like the hitters were having a hard time getting the ball in the air. I don't know if you guys have any insight on who might be in Dunedin this year, but if you do, let her rip.
Well, I can tell you this. Sorry, Jared. I made my bet all offseason that Tom Robson was going to skip Lansing and go to Dunedin, and I've got a bit of inside information today that that's not going to happen, so I don't care about Dunedin anymore.
No, Robson, you don't care, huh?
Well, for me, now it's going to be Daniel Norris and four other guys.
Yeah, I think the consensus is we all kind of know that Norris is going to at least move up a level, so and it'll be good for him to obviously have another year and another year in the Florida State League. But you're right, there hasn't really been a lot of buzz or any, even, you know, on social media or anything like that about the Dunedin roster. So
Taylor Cole will be there, which you know, obviously being a he was dominant in 2012 Vancouver, not so dominant last year in Lansing, but he could be one. You know, he's obviously the interesting story when he took his 2 years off out of baseball to do his Mormon mission in Toronto, that, you know, he was throwing in the mid-90s in high school and then sort of never regained that velocity. So he's always one to keep an eye on. I thought maybe Javier Avendano would be there, but as we've all seen the last couple of days, he was released, which was a bit of a surprise, but it being his last year, I think it was his sixth year in pro ball, I guess it wasn't a huge surprise, but.
Yeah, well, we're on that topic, sorry, Jared, if you have anything you want to jump in with about Dunedin, but I was just going to get to the players who have been released this spring. I mean, there were a couple of fairly big surprises, including Ian Kadish and Chuck Geisels. You saw Chuck Geisels quite a bit, Charlie. I saw him in Lansing, and he struggled in Lansing, but he really dominated in Vancouver. And Ian Kadish, to me, was one of the best relievers in Lansing. So, I mean, to me, those two releases plus Avendano really took me by surprise.
You know, the starters, Avendano and Kyle Anderson, who was also released after 2 years with the Canadiens, I wasn't as surprised just because there are so many high, you know, young, high upside arms in the rotation. There's just not as many spots. But yeah, on the relieving side, I was and Geisels, just because, you know, you need arms in the system. There's plenty of relieving spots to go around. And Geisels last year, I mean, it's a bit frustrating because he did tend to nibble instead of going after hitters. And I mean, I remember there's a couple times that Big Jim Psychowski, I've never seen him give any other pitcher such an earful on the mound as he gave Chuck on a couple of occasions. But when you look at his stats, he struck out 40% of the hitters he faced in the Northwest League. So I would have thought they would give him another opportunity to at least go to Lansing and see what he can do. But, you know, who knows? That's the funny thing about the minor leagues. It's a tough racket. And
so, Jared, what do you have to say about the releases?
I remember, I mean, the only time I saw Geisels in person was in the GCL. You know, a little, I think it was even before 2013, but I mean, he's got a curveball, and he was an older guy, but I mean, it's ironic that his Twitter handle is closer mentality, I think, because I mean, he's got that closer mentality, you know, proven closer, ha ha ha, but no, I mean, it's, and you know, Javier Avendano, I mean, little, you know, Rule 5 pick, you know, thought he was going to, you know, maybe start, things like that. But again, it's one of those things. It's a numbers game, right? And Kadish as well. Kadish, you know, has, you know, been consistent. It's one of those things. Like it kind of reminds me of makes me think of what the bullpen's going to be like in New Hampshire. While kind of on the topic of relievers, because I mean, you know, I think Jay, we were joking kind of about that. There's just, you know, there's so many guys that it seems could, you know, go into the bullpen in New Hampshire. So it's going to be interesting to see what the actual final roster turns out to be.
Well, hopefully we'll get that tomorrow. And now let's get to Lansing, where we don't have to speculate about a few players. I think we're all sort of convinced that there's going to be a core of starting pitchers that include Chase DeYoung, and I did see Chase DeYoung tweet that he was flying into Grand Rapids. So we do know he for sure that he's going to be there. We also expect to see Alberto Tirado, Yairo Laborde, Tom Robson, Jeremy Gavareski, and that sort of whole contingent. I've also seen a mention, Alonzo Gonzalez has tweeted that he's going back to Lansing. Santiago Nessi posted a picture on Instagram with him and Jesus Tinoco, who I saw in spring training, and he actually looked better than Yairo Laborde did to me, in the one outing I saw him pitch. So that was courtesy of Santiago Nessi, and I've been saying all winter that I think Nessie's gonna go back, at least for part of the season, but I was impressed with what I saw from him in spring training. And, Derek Loveless, an outfielder who was with Bluefield last year, has also tweeted that he's going to Lansing. So we'll go to Jared first this time, and, Jared, any thoughts about that?
Pretty much named a lot of the guys that, were really been the only kind of rumblings that, who's going to be there. It seems like the consensus is that there's going to be a piggybacking system again, for this year, much like in 2012 with, Sanchez and Nicolino, Syndergaard and Disco and those guys. It's going to be an exciting group. I go down there on the 8th, of April. So once kind of, opening day is over with the Bisons in a couple of games, I'm going to head down and see what's going on in Lansing. So that should be fun. But, I think, yeah, it's going to be really, I'm really excited to see Robson over, the course of a full season. And obviously guys like Tirado and, Laborde, who obviously, we saw in Bluefield and they quote, kind of shoved in Bluefield, but, it'll be nice to see, much like it did for, Sanchez, Nicolino, and Syndergaard, it's gonna be, and I think, the Jays front office knows this, is that, once the guys hit A ball and full season ball, providing, whatever results they get, it just, their prospect stock will go up, providing they stay healthy and, can last a full season. So that'll be nice. I mean, not to say that we want to see these guys, get shipped out like, the former Lansing trio and even DeSclafani and David Rollins, like guys from that 2012 staff. I mean, I'm looking forward to seeing who the guys of 2014 are going to be, like those guys, like not necessarily the frontline guys, a la Tirado or, Robson or guys like that, but, the 4 or 5 in the rotation that, might feed off, the other higher profile guys, so to speak, and, put up good seasons of their own. So.
Well, it's interesting you mention that because, one of the things I wrote about last year was how it seems to be that success in Vancouver isn't always an indication of success in Lansing. And I think we certainly saw that last year where you had the two best pitchers in the Northwest League in 2012, in Javier Avendano and Taylor Cole move up to Lansing. And while neither was horrible, neither was nearly as dominant as they were the year before. So that's going to be a big question with some of these guys coming up from Bluefield, as well as Vancouver. It's going to be really interesting for me at least to be able to see who is going to take that next step and pitch very well and dominate the way Sanchez, Syndergaard, and Nicolino did, or who might sort of take a step a little bit backwards and have to figure things out as he goes along. Charlie?
Well, I mean, I think the obvious choice for me that it's going to take a step forward and Tom Robson will absolutely in the Northwest League, or sorry, the Midwest League, and could find himself in Dunedin, around the All-Star game. I think.
All right, so we're not going to talk to Charlie anymore because he's not coming through. So screw you, Charlie.
So it's okay. We'll fly him out on the on the Blue Jays from away jet, and then expense it and get him into Lansing in West Michigan for the All-Star game this summer. That's what we'll do.
That's right. The Blue Jays from away private jet subsidized by you, the listeners.
wink.
So I think at that we should wrap it up here. We've had a nice little chat. So. you know, I'm Jay Blue, and I'm on with Jared McDonald, coming from, where exactly are you, Jared? Or is, are you in a location that must remain undisclosed?
Yeah, I'm on a private island that that doesn't, you know, there's no radar or anything like that here, so I'm kind of off the grid. But no. I'm in the Hamilton area, and then I'll be in Toronto in about 2-3 months, so I'm moving to the city. So
smart man. And coming to us from Vancouver through a faulty internet connection is Charlie Caskey.
Yeah, well, there you go, Vancouver. We don't get internet out here in the backwoods.
That's right, coming from the backwoods of Vancouver. So, once again, we want to remind you that the 2014 Toronto Blue Jays Minor League Handbook is now available. Go to smashwords.com, and if you type in all of those things that are in the title, you're going to find our book. You can buy it for $7.99. That's a U.S. price. And we've also got our book launch coming up that Jared and I will be at. Charlie, unfortunately, we don't have the jet up and running for you just yet. So Charlie's going to have to miss the April 2nd. That's this Wednesday, April 2nd, at Tall Boys Craft Beer House at 838 Bloor Street West in Toronto. It's around Christie Street. And we're going to be starting at about 7 p.m. If you come to that wonderful event, you can sign up to be on our email list. And if you do that, you will get $2 off the price of the book, or if you've already bought the book, we will send you our All-Star Break update for free. So if you're in Toronto or the Toronto area, come on down to Tall Boys and you can watch the ball game, the Blue Jays and the Tampa Bay Rays, live on the TV set, and enjoy some wonderful beers. We'll have some giveaways and we'll have some trivia all for you. That's the 2014 Toronto Blue Jays Minor League Handbook by yours truly, Charlie Caskey, and Jared McDonald. Once again, I want to thank you guys for joining me on this wonderful podcast late on a Sunday night as we prepare for the book launch and the work week. Thanks for joining me, guys.
Thank you.
Hey, no problems. Bring in the season.
And I think that sums it up. We're ready for baseball. This has been the first podcast of the 2014 season from Blue Jays From Away. Thanks for joining us, and go Jays go.